Reverend of St. John's Church, Simon Gales, and scientists, Professor David Watts, are working together to try and bring religion and science a little bit closer. Well, that's exactly what we're going to find out now, because they join me in the studio. Gentlemen, can I wish you both a very good morning?
Good morning, Mike.
Thank you very much indeed for taking time to be with us. Reverend Simon, let me start off with you, please. I'm led to believe you have a bit of a scientific background yourself.
That's right. I trained as an engineer and worked for about 10 years as a structural design engineer.
So tell me the thinking behind this. What are you hoping to achieve?
Well, our project for the year is called Removing the Barriers. So we're hoping to remove some of the barriers that are often thought to exist between science and Christianity. That actually, instead of being enemies, they're really the best of friends.
What makes you say that?
Well, I think Christianity actually gave rise to modern science. If this world was just random, then science has no real basis. We couldn't do an experiment one day and expect the same results the next day. But because God is reliable, God is trustworthy, he stands behind all that happens in this universe. So science has a real basis to it.
Professor David Watts, where are you on this?
Well, I'm in agreement with what Simon has said, actually. my first interest in the relationship between science and religion came to me when I was in my teens and studying at secondary school science subjects. And I was mentored by two professional scientists who were members of the church I was brought up to attend. One was a theoretical physicist, the other was an industrial chemist. And so when I went to university, I had this background concept that God and science were friends, mm-hmm. or, you know, in relationship. And Simon said, that God underpins science by his faithfulness and reliability.
And you are a Christian,
yeah.
as well as a scientist.
Yeah.
So what happens when people ask the questions about the beginning of the world, for instance?
Yes.
And let's just talk about the timing.
Yeah.
Are there any questions about that in your mind?
No. I accept the concept of the Big Bang. I think the astronomical and other evidence for that is strong. And I think all explanations in science, and actually many explanations in theology, are framed around an inference to the best explanation. In other words, what set of ideas explains the most of factual reality and experience? And so I accept that. And my understanding of parts of the Bible, like Genesis, is actually that they are a reliable historical narrative, but that one, particularly in the very first chapter of the Bible, or Genesis 1, one must understand what its purposes are and not sort of try and treat it as a encyclopedia of science, which it's not intended to be. So that those are the broad outlines of my thinking there.
Reverend Simon, are you in agreement with this? The Bible is not a proper reference book, then?
The Bible never intended to be a scientific textbook. It wasn't written for that purpose. It was written for us to have a relationship with God and to know God, rather than answering the questions of science. Science is much more concerned with the questions of how things came into being, how things happen. Christianity, matters of faith, are about why. Why are we here? What's the purpose of life? Who is behind this universe? So they're answering different questions, and there is really no conflict between the two.
How are you presenting this to your congregation?
Well, we've got a program of events for the coming year, lots of different things. We've got some field trips planned things like a trip to Jodrell Bank Observatory. We've got some public lectures, one Christianity and Science, Friend or Foe, that the local education centre is kindly hosting for us. We're going to have a essay writing competition for particularly aimed at young people to encourage them to think about these issues. We've had an evening where members of our congregation, about six different six people involved in the world of science, are speaking about their work and how that relates to their faith.
And how has it been received?
We're early days yet, but so far so good. And I think our congregation are quite excited about thinking through some of these issues. We want not just it to be a church thing, though. We want to engage the wider Wilmslow population, because we live in a bit of a science corridor with AstraZeneca and the university and all that sort. So there are lots of scientists around, and we want to engage in the debate.
Gentlemen, we'll continue in a few minutes' time. And we are discussing science and religion, and do they go together or not? I have two very special guests in the studio with me. Reverend of St. John's Church in Wilmslow, Simon Gales, and scientist Professor David Watts. Gentlemen, thanks for sticking around, still with us.
Good
now,
to be here.
Let me start with you, Professor David Watts, and I will word this question in an odd way. As a scientist, one would assume that you know what you're talking about. Richard Dawkins is a scientist, mm-hmm. and one would assume that scientist knows what he's talking about, but he's very much on the opposite side of the scale to you. So what do you say to people like Richard Dawkins, who say there is no place in the world for religion, never mind up against science on its own?
Well, first of all, I would say to Richard Dawkins that his approach is basically differing from mine philosophically, in that he is adopting the philosophy of materialism or naturalism, so that there is nothing but the material world. Now, essentially, I believe that the material world, the universe, and all the secondary causes that science investigates are somehow embedded in a deeper spiritual world. Now, this might seem slightly strange for some people, but if you look over the history of philosophy, for example, the last 2,000 years, that all the major philosophers have believed that mind has precedence over matter. In other words, then that is compatible with a view that there is a mind behind the universe, of which our minds are, you might say, finite replicas, and it is through our minds that we can understand the universe. Now, if one starts off, as some of the ancient philosophers did, with the idea that there is nothing but fundamental particles, atoms or subatomic particles, and they're just moving around in a void, first of all, there is no explanation of how that situation came to be. And some of them, particularly up to the time of Einstein, tended to believe that this situation had always prevailed. In other words, the universe is eternal. The developments in cosmology and observational astronomy drove people towards the idea that the universe had a beginning. Now, I wouldn't necessarily equate that beginning precisely with the Christian idea of God creating out of nothing, but somehow it suggests a relationship between the two, which would take longer to discuss in detail. So Richard Dawkins, I think, is looking at the world through a very restricted set of spectacles. Now, my spectacles enable me to see the world as Dawkins sees it, and to agree on quite a number of things, but also sees things that he refuses to admit exist. I believe that deep in every person, parallel to their own self-consciousness, there is a deep down awareness of God. Now, they may not use the word God to describe that reality, But I think it is intrinsic to being a human being.
Well, I wouldn't mind being at one of your lectures. I can say that. Most interesting. Reverend Simon, what do you see through your glasses?
Well, I see a world that is that God has brought into being, and fundamentally he's created us for a relationship with himself. So there is much more to this universe than just the stuff that we can see and touch. There is that spiritual dimension, and as I say, God has made us for a relationship with himself, and if we miss out on that, then actually we've settled for too little. We're made for so much more than just this earthly life.
How long will it be, and ask both of you this question if that's okay, how long do you think it'll be before we're able to prove or disprove God?
Well, I think God has given us lots of evidence of his existence. He's given us this wonderful world in which we live. Most of all, he's stepped into this world in the person of Jesus. And Jesus gave us lots of evidence that here was God as a human being, God on the stage of human history. So not proof, because actually there's lots of things in life where we operate on the basis of evidence. We make a rational judgment on the evidence available to us, and we act accordingly. And that's the sort of evidence that God has given to us.
Professor Watts?
Yes, I don't think proof is really the best term to use in relation to being convinced about the existence of God. There are different kinds of proof anyway. There's mathematical proof, and there's legal proof, and there is personal proof. I mean, how do I know my wife loves me? It's not on the basis of scientific evidence. I just know, because it's a one-to-one personal relationship. And similarly, with God, one can become convinced. Now, and indeed, I am. I'm as sure of the existence of God as I'm sure I'm sitting here in this studio. But how I came to that, and how other people come to that, is sometimes by slightly different routes. But we believe that Jesus Christ is the way to God, and as we read the Bible, both the Old and the New Testament, Jesus walks out of the pages of the Bible, as it were, and becomes a real living person to us. And this is not a self delusion, or if it is, it's a mass delusion, because there are millions of people around the world and through the centuries who've come to this experience and reality.
Let me ask you both this question. It's a question we ask most of our guests when we think it's going to be very relevant. So let me ask you both. First of all, Professor Watts, how did you come to faith?
It came through hearing the Word of God, through hearing the Bible explained in a living way, and in a way that answered the deep questions of existence. It gave a convincing explanation of why we're here, of what we're here for, of why we're both gifted in to achieve many things, but also as human beings that we're also deeply flawed, and how those flaws can be addressed and forgiven, and how we can be given new hope and direction in life. So I see my calling as a scientist as part of Christian discipleship.
And Reverend Simon?
Somewhat similar, really. It was as I had the Bible explained to me, and as I began to understand what its message was, it made sense of life as I knew it. It explained both the nature of people, that we are wonderfully made and yet tragically flawed, and it also explained that sense that David was mentioning earlier, that sense of there must be more to life, that actually we're there is that innate sense that there is a God, there is something more, and here in the Bible is God making himself known to me.
Well, Reverend Simon Gales and Professor David Watts, can I thank you very much indeed for being with us this morning for an illuminating conversation.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
Thank you very much indeed. It's Sunday Breakfast. It's BBC Radio Manchester.